So let us draw near to God with sincerity of heart and a full assurance of faith. In faith, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. We come, O Lord, seeking pardon for our sin and longing for the enduring peace that only you can give. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Gracious God, you call us to work for a world where all will be fed and have dignity, but we find ourselves distracted often by our own desires. You call us to seek justice and peace, but we become satisfied with injustice and discord. You call us to bring liberty to the oppressed, but we do not insist on freedom for all. So we ask for your wisdom, yet we don't look to scriptures for guidance. Lord, we acknowledge that we can be such a double-minded people. Oh Lord, please forgive us. Forgive us for not being tender-hearted and compassionate, and cleanse us from our pride and self-righteousness. Turn us to your will by the power of your Spirit, so that all may know your justice and peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Hear the good news, people of God. Hope does not disappoint us, for God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Believe the good news and give thanks in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Amen. Let's stand for Gloria Patri.
Please be seated, and as you're doing so, if you are rotating on our leadership team, our deacons and elders team, would you please join me up front? And actually, before we go through this ordination and installation, and actually stand up here and kind of face the congregation, there you go. And you, congratulations, you won. You're a deacon and elder. Come on up. No, I'm just kidding. Can I ask Gwen, Terry, and Patty just to stand up? Rich, just right where you are. As we ordain and install these new elders and deacons, we had an amazing day yesterday of training these new folk and saying goodbye to these folk that are rotating off. And would you please give them a round of applause for their service? And I would love to pray over them. God, I just thank you so much for your church. And Jane, would you please stand up, Jane, too? You're rotating off, too. Sorry. And God, I pray blessings. I pray that this next chapter, you minister them to them in new and beautiful ways, and they continue to praise and glorify you. Thank you for each of them in my life and in this church's life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. And as we're going to ordain and install these new deacons and elders, I do want to say that ordination is Christ's gift to the church. These people are choosing, they're saying, yes, Lord, you fill in the question. And through ordination, God is going to provide, or God provides for acts of care and compassion in this church and in the world. And this is a team. We celebrate the sacraments. We can't do it without you. I'll turn it over to Marcia, our clerk.
Okay, representing the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the session of PCC now ordains Simon, Tim, Terry, and Starlene to ministry as deacons, and ordains Donna to minister as a ruling elder, and installs them to active service in this congregation. The session also installs the active service those who have been previously ordained, Deacon Brian, and ruling elders Doris, Edson, and Jane.
Just to clarify, this side, you gravitated. This is the deacon side. This is the deacon side. That's Simon, that's Starlene, that's Terry, that's Brian. They're the servants. They're the communion. They're the greeting. They're the meeting the needs of the least and the lost. They're the prayer warriors. They're the, if you need someone to walk through a valley, tap one of these folks on the shoulder. These are our elders, and we got you, Doris, we got Jane, we got Donna, we got Edson. They are the systems people. If you got a complaint, don't bring it to me. Bring it to them with how something's going. I'm actually the moderator of the elders, and we are a team that make the way forward for all of us. I'm about to ask you some constitutional questions, and I apologize. There's several. Raise your hand if you've already been ordained. Yeah, Edson, you're one too. You guys technically don't need to answer this, but I think it's wise. I think it's wise to remind in everyone in your minds, these are what it means to follow Jesus. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please say, I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament to be the Holy Spirit, to be inspired and spoken by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Please say, I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the books of confession of our authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God at PCC? Please say, I do and I will. Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Please say, I will. Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Please say, I will.
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow Jesus the Christ? Will you make him Lord of your life, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Please say, I will. Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Please say, I do.
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Please say, I will.
I do.
Okay, this is for you deacons. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Please say, I will.
I will.
Will you be, and this is to the elders, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Please say, I will. Now I ask you, the congregation, this is my favorite part of weddings, and this is my favorite part of ordination services. Do we, the members of Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, accept these elders and these deacons as rulers, as ruling elders and deacons of this God's local outpost, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Please say, we do.
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them?
We do.
To respect their decisions?
We do.
And to follow as they guide us?
We do.
Serving Jesus the Christ, who alone is head of the church, please say, we do.
We do.
We said we do. You guys jumped on it, and I love that. Was that loud enough for you? Okay. Usually you laugh. Insert laughter there. Would you please just move and stand on this cross, deacons and elders? I invite congregants to please come up and lay hands upon these brothers and sisters as we pray for them, as they turn into this new chapter of serving Christ's body here at PCC. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon your servants, whom you called by baptism as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these servants as they continue in their ministries to which you have called them. Help them rely on the gifts of your Spirit and to follow Christ faithfully in this calling.
Gracious God, give them a spirit of truthfulness that they may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Gracious God, we ask you to pour out your spirit of power and truth upon this whole church, that we may be for you a holy people baptized to serve you in the world.
Sustain your church in ministry. Ground us in the gospel. Secure our hope in Christ Jesus. Strengthen our service to the outcast and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness to the world in the good news of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all God's children said,
Amen.
I would just like to proclaim. Oh, hey, well, hold up. Patty, would you come back? This is a photo moment. Never mind. I forgot. Deacons and elders, stay up here, please. Everyone else, return to your seats. Thank you very much. Sharp as a marble, smooth as sandpaper. We got it. Doris, Jane, Donna, Edson, Simon, Starlene, Terry, Brian, you are now deacons and ruling elders, ordained to ministries of service and governance in the Church of Jesus Christ. For this congregation, and once ordained, always ordained in any PCUSA church. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Big round of applause, please. And then together, would congregation please stand with us? Let's affirm our faith by everyone answering a couple questions. with the whole church, let us confess our faith. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of our body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue in worship, Danny.
Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Just the voices.
You are my rock in times of trouble.
You lift me up.
You lift me up when I fall down.
You are my rock.
You are my rock.
Your love is
Amen. We're in this second week of 2025. Enjoy this new day. As we started last week, this new sermon series for the month of January, enjoy this new day. We started off with a disclaimer. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think I can sum up all of last week's sermon in saying, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ as you enter into this new day. Choose Jesus Christ at every moment. Today we're looking at the new mercies of God every morning. There are mercies of God that are new every morning. Before we look at the text, I was surprised by something as I was preparing. Much like some people are surprised that C.S. Lewis is a theologian. You know, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, and most people know him for that. But then some people, they're surprised when they find out that C.S. Lewis is a theologian. I was surprised over Advent when I was reading this book called Waiting on the Word, and it was about poetry. I was surprised that G.K. Chesterton was a poet. I had only known him as a theologian. If anybody is looking for basic Christianity, what Christianity is, there's no greater book written than G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy. That book is phenomenal. It's really well written. Just what is it to be a Christian? But I found out he's a poet. I found out maybe 2 years ago, St. John of the Cross is also a poet. Has anybody heard of St. John of the Cross? Ever heard of the concept, the dark night of the soul? That's St. John of the Cross. That's all I knew him for. But he was an amazing poet as well. Jeremiah, the prophet, known as the whining prophet, was a poet. He's a psalmist. Old Testament scholars lump Lamentations not with Jeremiah, with his book of prophecies. They link it with Psalms. So it's to be read totally different. It's to be read as a book of poems, as a book of psalms, as a book of laments. It's in the name. I should have said no duh, but I learned he's this master poet. So let's look at the text this morning in light of that truth. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, teach through me. May my words be forgotten. May your words be proclaimed loudly through me. And all God's people said, verse 22 starts off, and one commentator wrote, like Job, the sentiment of the author is that though he may slay me, yet I will trust in him. That's Job 13:15. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. It's really important to remind us as we read this. This is written in a dark place. This is a lament. Jeremiah is going through very difficult times. So the brightness of the text is doubly bright, because it's almost 40% asking. I'm clinging to these truths that your mercies are new every morning. But it is definitely 60%. His mercies are new every morning. Do you follow? The darkness surrounding this text makes this verse pop from the page. I won't tell a story. We'll stick to the text. Compassion never fails. That's what my translation says. God's compassion never fails. The Hebrew poet Robert Alter translates that, his mercies are not exhausted. What's another way of saying that? They are bottomless. They never run out. I hear the word exhausted, and I think of myself currently, right now. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We've had a lot. We've done a lot. Had a funeral the 2 days after Christmas. Had an Eagle Scout thing that night in South County. Went out to Riverside. The next weekend, we met as a session to work through some of our difficulties. Friday and Saturday had a 16-hour meeting, 2 8-hour work days. Yesterday, we met from 10 to 2 as deacons and elders. It was beautiful, but I'm exhausted. I'm just confessing to you, I'm exhausted. There's no real point to that other than the fact that I'm not God. It's obvious, right? It's obvious from my email that I sent out on Thursday. Did anybody look at the subject line? Future email. What does that even mean? Now I give you a little world into my, like a glimpse into my world. I copy and paste the email and put it in a file and say, that's for a future email. And so I worked from that and I edited it and I sent it out. And everyone in here knows my secret now. I make flops all the time. Also, I have what I have. And the same with you. We have limits. If you say yes to everything, you'll be crushed quickly. There's limited resources. We have a limited amount of energy. We have limited amount of time. We have limited amount of all these resources. That's kind of a scarcity model, right? God is not like that. He can absolutely adore me. I can be his favorite as well as Susan being his favorite, and Doris, and Jeff, and Simon, and Ian. He has enough. It's bottomless. It's inexhaustible. His compassions, his mercies, they never fail. And then this beautiful Just a beautiful line of poetry, a beautiful truth to cling to, especially in the darkest of nights. Have you ever been in a place where you are praying, God, please make it daylight? I grew up in a backpacking and camping family. We were living in Massachusetts. We had hiked 7 miles into the woods in New Hampshire. We're sitting around a campfire. My brother accidentally knocks over boiling water and it spills on the ground. I'm sitting like with my knees up on the ground and I boil right here. Third degree burns on my like back, just below the gluteus maximus for all you doctors. I remember when we can't leave, it's nighttime. We're 7 miles from anything, from a road, never mind a hospital. I remember laying on my stomach in that tent, just waiting, just crying out, please, son, come up. I need out, I need hope. Jeremiah, similar situation. Probably not the whole camping and boiling water thing, but it's a dark time. And he's relying on this truth. And there's a quiver in his voice. And there's the plea. But it's the truth. God's mercies are new every morning. Have you ever been to the ocean? Any ocean. Hearing that lap of the water, those wave after wave after wave. I think all of nature cries out that God's mercies are new all the time. Then he says, great is your faithfulness. Yet another truth, right? When we were reading this scripture together, preparing for this weekend, Danny said, great is your faithfulness. That's how we start the service. Great is your faithfulness. Is his faithfulness great? Then the poet looks inward. There's just this one verse, verse 24. You can hear him talking to himself. He's just said his mercies are new every morning. He is faithful. And he says, okay, the Lord's my portion. The Lord's my portion. Not only is the Lord your portions, the Lord is my portion. And he's inviting us as a poet. This is a classic. This is a classic switch of person, right? Switch of person in the poem. Inviting the readers to make this poem their own. And as you're reading them out loud, which is how Old Testament, how people classically have read scriptures, is out loud, for it's to be heard, not read. They say it out loud and they say, Lord's my portion. I will wait for him. I will wait for him. Waiting is an active word. Waiting implies watching. Waiting implies stilling. Waiting takes on with it casting anxieties and fears aside, handing them off. And then he ends with two truths, or two or three truths. He says, the Lord is good. And we just sang, my hope is in him alone. Our hope is in him alone. The Lord is good. Our hope is in him alone. And he ends with this, it's good to wait quietly, for he will save. What do you think the poet is thinking of there? I like Johnny. Yeah, he's trying to think what he's thinking. I think he's thinking about one of Marcia's favorite verses. Be still and know that I am God. I think Jeremiah's also thinking maybe of his of the prophet Elijah, who says, who hears from God. God tells him, go up on the side of the mountain and wait for me to pass. And there was a thundering wind, and the boulders were exploding, but God wasn't in it. And there's thunder and lightning and storms, and God wasn't in it. But then there was a still, small voice, and God was in it. I think the poet is saying this world is in a big hurry. It's good for the people of God. That word good, tov, that implies structurally sound, can bear weight. It's good to sit quietly and wait for his salvation. How do we apply this? Ladies and gentlemen, myself included, deepen our faith. Write poems. Read poems. Put some energy into deepening your relationship with God. Much like you put, like when something breaks, you put energy into fixing it. You put energy into watching the sports games, the sports ball games. Just kidding. I guess that's not that funny. But we put energy into all these things, and I think the prophet poet Jeremiah this morning is saying, put some energy into your faith, into your relationship with God. Become a deeper person. Become a deeper who you've God has created you to be. Get a deeper understanding about what it means to be human. Creation of God. I think we apply it by remembering the truth, thick or thin, God's mercies are new every morning. Enjoy this new day. Might start with looking in the mirror and talking to God and saying, what new mercies do you want to show me today? Make it personal. Where is your hope? We sang that our hope is in the Lord alone. Is that true? Is your hope in anything other than the Lord? And last but not least, let's still ourselves. Let's still ourselves, knowing that God's salvation is sure. For he does not get exhausted. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, your mercies are new every morning. And as we enjoy this new day, as we walk into and continue into 2025, Equip us with your Spirit. Deepen our relationship with you. Open our ears for your still small voice. Quiet our spirits. Get us off the treadmill and the freeways. Get us in those corners, those alone corners with you, that we might know who and whose we are. We praise you, not for the stuff you give us. We praise you for being a God that's never exhausted. A God that is a God of abundance, not scarcity. And all God's people said, as we continue in worship, I'm going to wait for the ushers to get in their places. And this is a time in the service where we participate in what God is up to. This is both a response to how much he's blessed us, but it's also an invitation to join in the adventure with your tithes, gifts, and offerings. Tithes, gifts, and offerings are now received.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the Word. Sweet is the rain.
Just as Jason this morning prayed, we also want to pray for all those who have lost homes or something. We think of them. So let's pray. God, who creates scenes of beauty and wonder, we call upon your mercy and grace to protect the people, the creatures, and all your creation from the fires that rage north of us and beyond. In the face of destruction, remind us that hope cannot be extinguished. Surround the people, creatures, and creation with your grace and peace. Comfort all who mourn the death of loved ones. Stand with those who grieve the loss of beloved pets or dreams and hopes. Hold close in your care those who are evacuating, unsure of what awaits them, even today. Accompany all who have been displaced and sustain those whose homes, businesses, and communities have been consumed by flames. Strengthen the firefighters, first responders, and volunteers working tirelessly to control the fires. Guide their efforts and grant them endurance and safety. We ask that you also bless leaders in these impacted communities whose courage and compassion are beacons of hope amidst the smoke and ashes. Even when the skies are clouded with smoke, may we trust that your light cannot be dimmed. May your promise of renewal and restoration sustain us all. And Lord, we pray for all those friends we know listed in the bulletin who need our prayer. We think of them and ask you to strengthen them for today. We pray all of this in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Let's stand for our closing hymn.
Don't blame Danny for that song. I wanted to sing that song. I love that song, right? I don't know. How many of you, does that bring you back to VBS? It brings you back to VBS. And every time I hear that song would be amazing sung by Dylan. This is the day. I think it would be just an amazing track to be sung by Dylan. That's just inside my head. And I mentioned in my sermon, I'm exhausted. I'm actually headed out of town right after fellowship hour. I'm going up with a couple pastors, and we're going out to the desert. So, and I'll be back in the office on Wednesday. Thanks for being a congregation that cares for me and allows me to do this type of thing. It's a bunch of Costa Mesa pastors. I hope they don't want me to talk at all. I'm just going to sit and look at them and just receive from the Lord. But we have Juliana, if you want to get your blood pressure checked in the fellowship hall right after the service. Also, we have that congregational meeting and saying goodbye and praise God for Philip and Nora. Receive this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of God, the peace that comes only in putting our hope in God and trusting God, may that peace guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, all of 2025, and forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.